You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev and the 2017 Chevrolet Silverado. 0% financing for 84 months, plus up to 10 grand in price reduction. This is better than employee pricing and better than 20% of MSRP. Check it out only at Lakewood Chev.
Kevin Weeks joins us. Kevin, I appreciate you joining us. We're going to talk about what's going around the NHL quickly, but first, I have one of your former teammates sitting right in front of me, Jason Strudwick. You played with him two times in Vancouver and New York. What do you recall about Jason Strudwick as a hockey player?
Max effort. Just max effort and dependable and consummate pro. And a great guy to have in the room. Does the right things at all the right times. Excellent in the bench. And as a goalie, stay-at-home D-men were always at a premium, especially in penalty kills. So, you know, a lot of times stay-at-home defensemen would get a little bit of flack when you're doing offensive drills or whatever the case may be. But I'll tell you what, when you're hemmed into your D zone and the opposing team has some offensive zone time on you, you love the defensemen that are going to block a shot, deflect a shot, do those little things in D zone situations or on penalty kills. And Strudy was always one of the most loved guys in the locker room. And I'll tell you this quickly. I remember when he was playing overseas and we were playing with the Rangers, we wanted to have him back on our team because of what he meant to our team and our team around the locker room. So he was a highly respected NHL player every place that he played, and I certainly felt that way about him, which is why I'm on the air with you guys today.
Well, Weeksy, thank you very much for coming on. And I'll tell you what, those times I blocked it, I was actually out of position. I was trying to get into the right position. I was in the wrong position. It just hit me. So I know you're making me sound good, but I wasn't in the right spot.
Back at you. Same thing for me. That's why I was so appreciative of you being able to watch him.
All right, Weeksy, I got to ask you a very serious question. I have never met a goalie playing in the NHL, an ex-goalie, anyone who's ever even looked at goalie equipment. Why is it that those people cannot say that a goalie had a bad game? You never say it. You, Noodles, Panger, Rudy, all the same. No one ever says they had a bad game. We know you have bad games, just like everybody else. Why can't you be honest with us?
I think a lot of times goalies, we're our harshest critic. And we know, I mean, right from when we're 8 years old, I was at my parents' house last night and talking to my mom and dad and just kind of joking around about old minor hockey times and literally letting in a bad goal and seeing parents on your team, like your team, like teammates, parents in the stands, sitting beside my mom and dad, rolling, what's Kev doing? Kev's got to have that one. Come on. Like, what's Kev? Is he asleep? And honestly, I can remember looking up into the stands over my shoulder at Chesswood Arena here in Toronto as an 8-year-old, any tournament we played in, and I'm going to actually out one person, Mike Pekka, who was our captain with the Toronto Red Wings. His dad, Claude, who was an awesome man. But Mr. Pekka would always be the one. What's Kev doing, man? Is he on cloud nine? What's going on? Anytime I let in a bad goal. So I think that kind of sticks with us as kids, literally. That sticks with us. And then you get to junior, and then, you know, the stakes are turned up a little bit higher, whether you're playing in junior or college. For us, Strudy, it was junior. You're in the dubouts in the OHL. But then the same thing. And you know the guys on the bench. Like, I think about it, right? As a goalie, only one guy can play at once. So when you're on the bench, you hear some of the running commentary. Jeez, he's fighting it tonight. Jeez, what's going on? It's an adventure out there for him tonight. Jeez, Weeksy, you better be ready. Jeez, and I'm like, oh, my God. Are they saying the same thing about me when I'm in there? So that becomes a part of it. And any goalie you talk to, we know that. We've experienced it. So it's like, okay, we're going to be accountable. We knew we let in a brutal goal or whatever it is. But for the purpose of confidence and just your self-belief, everybody's telling you that you're brutal at some point in time. Just for positive self-talk, you got to be able to say, hey, man, I know I'm the best. Hey, I know I'm the best. Uh-oh, there's Ron Francis on a breakaway. Hey, man, I know I'm the best. Uh-oh, Mess is coming in on a breakaway. So you almost have to, like, talk yourself up, you know? That's why.
You know what, Weeksy? I used to say this one always quietly, though. And everyone, you know this one. Hey, Mixon is safe.
Oh, yeah, of course. Mixon is safe. Totally. And the best one is the eye roll on the bench. Guys be like, Mixon is safe, man. And I'll tell you what's crazy. I'll tell you guys what's crazy for our listeners. I remember when I started skating with NHL players, my first year in junior, I was 16. I came back home to Toronto, and oh, my gosh, it's Doug Gilmer. Oh, my gosh, it's Stevie Thomas. Oh, my, it's Cujo down at one end, Kirk McLean, K-Mac down at the other end or whoever it would be. Yeah. And I was a third goalie, you know, just trying to wait my time to get into the summer skate or whatever. And honest to God, Glenn Healy would let in a couple goals, and some of the Leaf guys would look down at me. They're like, Weesey, take him out of there. Don't get him out of there. I'm like, what do you want me to do? I'm 16 years old, 158 pounds. Yeah, like, I'm going to go tell Glenn Healy to get out of the net? I don't think so. So I know the – we, like, as goalies, we know the psychology of you guys. We know the way that you guys think. We know the way the fans think. And the coaches. The best one is the eye roll from the coaches on the bench. After you let in the goal, they're like, this guy. They look skyward in the rink. It's like, guys, there's nobody that's going to save you. I know it was a bad goal. Like, come on, coach.
We're joined by Kevin Weeks, right?
That's as real as it gets. So for all you young girls and boys out there that play the position, just know that it's not about you. It's just natural. It's a thing we have to deal with.
We're joined by Kevin Weeks right now, former NHL goaltender, current analyst on the NHL Network. Kevin, out of all the coaches you had in your career, which coach gave you the most eye rolls? Which one gave you the most grief as a netminder?
Oh, man. I would have to say, I don't know, it'd probably be a toss-up between Brent Sutter and Mark Crawford. I would have to say, one of the two. Because Crow is wired. He's wired a certain way. He's tightly wound. He seems calm now since he's come back from Switzerland. I think he's much calmer. And I have to say, he did a great job with the Senators last year, along with Guy Boucher behind the bench. They had a tremendous year, as you guys know. But I would say when he was highly strung during our time in Vancouver, I would say him. And then Brent Sutter, my last 2 years with the Devils. But the thing is Brent did it with Marty, too. So that's what makes me feel a little bit better. I'm like, okay, hold on a second. This is the all-time winningest goalie in the history of the world. And, okay, well, Sutsy, if Sutsy's doing the eye rolls for Marty, maybe it's not that bad. So I remember one time we played in Atlanta when the Thrashers were still there. The Jersey were in there, and Marty wasn't having a good, you know, he didn't play well in the first period. And Sutsy came in, and he's like, everybody says you're supposed to be the bleep. Best goalie of all time. What's going on? Mixed in a save. And I was like, everybody in our room just looked around. I remember looking at Johnny Madden, Jay Pandolfo. We're all looking at each other like, did that just happen? Whoa. So I would say it's a toss-up between Crow and Brent. I'd say Sutsy was probably, you know, he was tightly wound. You know, we ended up getting to the playoffs both years with him coaching there, but he was definitely tightly wound where that was concerned. But that was a lot of fun. It's free entertainment sometimes. Stretty, you know, it's a long year.
Yeah.
And sometimes you need some of those things, and sometimes those things can also bring a group together, right? Because maybe you have a guy that's, say, a Jay Pandolfo type, who was, you know, a really good player in a fourth-line role with the Devils pretty much his entire career, one cup, very dependable on draws, penalty kill situation, shut down, forward, center iceman. And then, you know, when guys are highly respected like that in the room and something happens, you rally around the guy, you know? So sometimes those things were able to bring teammates and teams together as well. Guys would rally around guys, especially when they were so well respected.
Weeks, I've always wanted to ask a goalie this. I never have, and I have a lot of, you know, friends that are ex-goalies. Let's say things don't go well for a goalie, all right? And then the coach gives you the eye roll, then he gives you the old hook. And now you got to come to the bench. I mean, I always thought you'd feel quite small sitting on the end of the bench now. You got to sit there while your buddy goes in there and takes over for you. But, like, what is that feeling? Because, like, I always tried to give the guy a tap and then get a long ways away because I didn't want him to snap on me either.
Sure. It's shame. Honestly, you feel shame. Like, guys, you know, I was just talking about my parents last night, for example. So let's say, fast forward to my days in the NHL, for example, if my parents weren't physically at a game, let's say at Air Canada Center here in Toronto or Ottawa or whatever, Buffalo, because those are close enough drives or what have you. But let's say, I don't know, we're playing on the road in Dallas, and my parents would start out watching the game. They're both in the basement. Okay, we're going to come watch the game tonight, blah, 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 blah. They're on Kev's in the net, blah, blah, blah. So if we're playing well and everything's humming along, both my mom and dad are pumped. My sister's in the basement. They're pumped. They're watching the game. If I let in one early, okay, it's okay. If I let in two, my mom goes upstairs. She's watching in the kitchen. If I let in three, my mom literally goes upstairs. She's watching in their bedroom, in the master bedroom or whatever. So it's like the whole, your whole family kind of shares in the experience.
Sure.
Like, it's not just you. You know what I mean? Your whole family shares in it. Your loved ones, your family, whatever. and, you know, your kids, whoever might be at the game, depending on your denomination or what have you. But it is something, Shreddy, to where it's the only job that I know where you let in a mistake and a red light goes on behind you. And I've never seen another job like that.
They're like, over here, so, look over here. This guy just made a mistake.
Exactly. Like over here in aisle two, right behind the net, this guy or this girl I'm playing. That was them. Yeah, it went through their legs from the blue line, no screen. So sometimes, I mean, you feel a range of emotion. Sometimes, honestly, it was relief because there are certain nights where the puck looked like an aspirin and you weren't finding it anyway. There's other nights where you know that you feel sharp, but for whatever reason, you get some unlucky bounces. There's nights where your team's not going well and the guys aren't playing well in front of you. And there's other nights where, quite frankly, you feel like you're reading Braille out there and you can't see the puck anyway, so better off being on the bench. You know, so it's kind of a range of different emotions depending on how the night went that led to you getting pulled.
We're joined by former NHLer Kevin Weeks, currently on the NHL Network. Kevin, in your opinion, when you first started playing hockey in goal to now, what's the biggest change? Is it the goalie gear? Is it now that we have video of pretty much everything, or is it maybe something else?
I would say there's a lot of different evolutions to the equipment. I was always a big gearhead, big goalie gearhead to this day. In fact, I just finished seeing some of the guys from Bauer Goalie just randomly. We just saw them after lunch here in Toronto. They're here for that BioSteel camp. Goalie coaching, which is really important, guys. And, you know, for a lot of the young girls and the young boys that play, the most important thing that I could teach them or pass along is the ability to skate. So for a lot of the parents out there, make sure your son and daughter can skate and skate as well as the forwards and the defensemen on the team. Power skating is essential. If you can skate, you can assimilate and learn any other skill into your game. You really can. I think that was the name of the game for me. I was fortunate to have a coach from Winnipeg who moved to Toronto, Mr. Keith Armstrong. God bless him. Had not for him, you know, Mike Pekka, Anson Carter, Brad Brown, Jason Allison, myself, there's a whole bunch of us that played for our teams. We would never be where we were today had not for him. And he had a real big emphasis on skating. I would then say from that is the equipment, of course, it's continued to evolve in terms of protection, but also the way in which goalies wear it and functionality in terms of the gear, allowing goalies the confidence to be able to make the saves and the save selections they want to and know that they're not going to get injured for the most part is big. And then lastly, I would say goalie coaching. You know, goalie coaching is really huge. You guys have been lucky, and to your credit, I should say, too, out in Alberta, you guys are producing goalies. The Western, the Dub, doing a really nice job of producing guys, and some of those guys are even going on to play NCAA and then playing pro. Here in Ontario, for whatever reason, specifically Toronto, we have the GTHL, as you may or may not know, which is the biggest minor hockey league in the world, but we haven't been able to produce goalies out of Toronto for whatever reason. Very rarely do we produce goalies out of here. So I would say the goalie coaching has been a big part. And Strutty, you'd know this too from being good friends with Noodles. Jamie McLennan had a great relationship as a teammate and also as a goalie coach with Mika Kiprusoff, as you guys know, who played just south of you in Calgary, who was a great goalie. And if you look at Finland, and the reason I pulled Kiprusoff as an example is the Finnish hockey system mandates for boys and girls at every level of hockey that they have a goalie coach on every team, whether it's single A, double A, house league, rep, whatever the case may be. And that's a big part of why Finland has become such a goalie breeding ground and a spawning ground. We see so many Finnish goalies in the NHL. So goalie coaching is really a big part of it, and that's really been able to help a lot of the boys and girls be a little bit more advanced in terms of how they play the position. So it's nice to have the resources. In short, it's nice to have the resources behind the position, because if you look at it as, say, a quarterback as a comparable, there are a lot of great quarterback camps that are out there for people that play that position. For the longest time, I think our position was underserved, and it certainly hasn't been that way for the last 10 years, and that's why I think the evolution in the last 10 years has been really impressive at the girls' level and the boys' level, for sure.
Weeks, we got one last one for you. This is a text coming in from John. He says, Kevin, or can you ask Kevin how he handled a defenseman making a terrible, obvious mistake leading to a goal in front of him?
That's a great question, Johnny. I would say this. You know, my parents had told me this when I was young. And sometimes all of our competitive spirits get the best of us. But every time you suit up and you put on your gear, you know, the person next to you, the person across from you in the locker room, is at least their intentions are to bring their best. And nobody's trying to make mistakes on purpose. And quite honestly, There are many nights when, or, you know, tournaments and youth hockey or whatever the case may be, there are many times when I know I wasn't at my best or I wasn't 100% sharp and I'd have to grind through, and my teammates carried us to victory. You know, sometimes it was luck, maybe a post here or there that swung a win in our favor. But when it's all said and done, and Struds, I know you know this too, there's no better feeling. I'm getting goosebumps talking about it. There's no better feeling than when the horn goes off and the guys come into the huddle,
yeah,
and you're fist bumping each other. Guys are giving each other knuckles. You're tapping each other on the helmet. Guys are hooting and hollering. Honestly, that's the best feeling. And when you just get into the locker room fresh after a win, somebody cues the music. Guys are pumped. You know, whether it's a home game or whether you're getting on the bus or the plane on the road, that feeling is almost indescribable. I try to do my best in describing it, Johnny. So I'd say just keep that in mind. Like, everybody on the team just trying to get through and do their best. And we're all going to make mistakes. It just happens. Hockey's a game of mistakes. But it's your mental toughness that – and look at Jonathan Quick as a great example. I'll leave you guys on this. And the Kings run to the 2014 Cup. I don't know if you guys remember this, but – they were playing against San Jose, and they were down early in the series to San Jose. And I remember they played at San Jose, and they were getting beat down. I think it was 7-2, if I'm not mistaken. It was a crazy score. And I remember Jonathan Quick coming to the bench in a TV timeout. He skated by everybody. It's all right. No problem, Kopi. I'll be better. Karts, no problem. I got it. No problem. Doubts, I'll be better. Guys, no worries. No problem. And they were getting blown out. I've never seen this before. At the end of the game in San Jose, he waited for everybody at that door in the corner. He high-fived every one of the LA Kings. He's like, don't worry, boys, I'll be back. Don't worry, boys, I'll be better. Don't worry, boys, I'll be better. And Jonathan Quick stood on his head the rest of the series. They turned that series, came all the way back, and then ended up winning that second Stanley Cup. So when I talk about, like, mental toughness as a goalie, that's like on a Grant Fuhr-type level that I saw in this era from Jonathan Quick, and I was really blown away by seeing that. And I've talked to a lot of guys on the Kings, staff, players, you name it, management group. Everybody raves about that. And those guys would do anything for Jonathan Quick, in large part because of that, and deservedly so.
Kevin, this was a lot of fun. I appreciate giving us a few minutes. How are you going to spend the rest of your offseason? Training camps get going in about a month. What do you have planned for the rest of the summer?
Yeah, exactly. Just trying to spend some time between here in Toronto and Jersey and just trying to rest and recoup. Probably go see some family down in Barbados and just take it easy for a little bit. Because you guys know, once the season rather picks up, we're full bore, and there's a lot of great NHL hockey being played, and happy for you guys in Edmonton to see that team turn the corner led by Connor and Leon, and it's just fun to watch what you guys have going on there. So I know it's long overdue for the great fans out there.
Kevin, thank you. This was fun, man.
Anytime, guys. Thanks so much, Strutt. Thanks, guys.
Great times.
That was Kevin Weeks.